Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everyone. I just want to take a second and welcome everyone who's visiting us today, a guest today. God bless you. We got a lot of new faces here this morning. We're so glad and happy to see you. Amen. Praise God. You're an answer to our prayer, believe it or not. Yeah. Praise God. Been praying for you. So anyway, get everything that God has for you out of this service. And at the end of the service, what I typically do did I tell you my name? My name's Pastor Chris. Praise God. And anyway, I'll just linger around. And if you have it in your heart, love to get to shake your hand, meet you, have a moment of personal connection with you, and answer any questions that you may have. Amen. But you should have received a brochure, color brochure. And on the inside of there, there's a white card. If you would take an occasion to fill that out, and you could just leave it in your seat when you leave because the offering bucket's already gone by. And we'll collect it. And if there's a legible email on there, I'll personally, it's not a like a spam thing, but I'll personally write you a note and open up a line of communication with you. And you could ask any questions that you might have that way. And anyway, we're just glad, aren't we glad, WAC, aren't we glad that they're here this morning? All those who are watching online, we're thrilled that you're with us as well. Praise God. Chat, comment, hit the like a lot of times. Let us know that you're out there. And praise God. To our regular church family and attenders, if you would, before the service is over, open up the website and log your attendance with us. We're not doing the paper card anymore. And if you'd like to be involved with this ministry and helps or some other way, there's a form on there. If you go to I'm New Here, and then there's a Helps Ministry tab, you could let us know that you'd like to get involved. We'd love to have you do that. Also, have just an informal announcement. After service, about 2 o'clock, some of us are going to come up on this beautiful day and play pickleball. And so we can play 4 at a time. And if you can move around at all, amen, you can play. And we'll rotate you in. But listen, if you play on my as my and we lose, you can't play with me anymore. Because I'm a winner. So anyway, the pickleball court, as you know, in the basketball court's right out back. You could pull in the back entrance. We're going to the back parking lot. And so for me and some of us, I'll have my clothes changed to get a bite to eat. And we're going to enjoy this beautiful day. If you want to just come out and bring a lawn chair and sit and watch us play pickleball, whatever you want to do, we're just going to hang out together, have a good time. Anybody that wants to do that. Amen. And so we're going to have a good time. Praise God. Well, to my church family, you may have seen me take a phone call that was my dad. My mom number 2, now my biological mom went to heaven in 2005, but many of you know Peggy. Peggy is my dad's wife, and she's been my mom number 2 for many, many years. He had to take her to the emergency room with some alarming symptoms earlier. And, you know, if my dad knows where I'm at on Sundays at 10:30, yeah. And my brother does too. And if he called me, then it must be a fairly serious thing. Would you pray and agree with me? Yes. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. There is no distance in the realm of the Spirit. We know because Jesus, what you said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come, you said, Jesus, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we know that that which would rob and steal of life is of the devil.
That's right.
So Satan, right now we bind you, yes, in the name of Jesus. We command you, yes, you take your hands off God's property.
Yes.
You cease and desist in all your maneuvers.
Right.
And we loose now the healing power of God,
yes,
to Peggy Cody.
Yes.
And we command every symptom to cease.
Thank you.
We thank you for the power of God that keeps her and protects her and undoes any damage that was caused by this physical attack. We surround her and my dad with faith and with love and with peace in Jesus' name. We just call to mind, Jesus, that just like we have a covenant of increase, we have a covenant of healing. And you said, Jesus, anything that we would ask the Father in your name, you would do it. So we just ask that my mom be safely seen through this moment in time, and she's fully healed, that you fully heal her, you fully cause her to recover speedily from this which has attacked her body. And we thank you for it. We just simply, like children in the kingdom, we just believe we receive it. So we can say as we go through the rest of this service, all is well. All is well. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, as I get settled here, I wanted to encourage all of you, but my wife especially, God moved on her about healing. And I went back during meet and greet and talked to Judah back there, and he said he sprained his ankle at work on Friday and was in pain, but he's not in pain anymore. Amen. Praise God that he was healed in this service. Amen? Because there's not one thing God can't do. Amen? Replace 6 months of income and God pays it in advance. Amen? So now you got 6 months to believe in the other half of a year's worth provision. And then another one of our single moms, two of our single moms, I got this hilarious text message from them the other day. And I'm not going to say their name because I'm telling some of their business, but they had told me privately, you know, that they were a couple of months behind in their finances. Yeah. And then God had caught them up in just recent days. They were just a month behind. But then they text me this hilarious text message and said, we're a month ahead. Amen. So to go from months behind to a month behind to now a month ahead. That's God. I said, that's God. God is a God of increase. And there's not one thing God can't do. Amen. Well, you guys prepared the atmosphere really well. If you can't preach behind this pulpit right now, you might as well just quit the ministry, Reverend. Amen. So I'm going to invite everyone, if you would, to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm glad you're excited to hear that we're heading back over there. 1 John chapter 2. For the last few Sundays, if you've been around with us, you knew that I was trying to go to India on a mission trip. And the door to that just shut. Unless God wanted to translate me over there, the airplanes I tried to use wouldn't work. So I'm here and I'm glad to be here. And on my way back from Nashville from a failed attempt to get to India, the Lord dealt with me in a strong way about what to minister. And I just continue to have peace. It's a huge subject. And so he had dealt with me. He said, son, make another appeal to my people to know and to do my will. Amen. To know and to do my will. And so I'm endeavoring to do that. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads again. Let's ask the Lord to be involved with us as we get into the Word. Father, we thank you that you're the author of the living Word. You are the living Word. And you confirm your Word with signs following. Father, as I've already prayed, I pray in the people's hearing that revelation would flow freely as they sit under the ministry of the Word right now. And that, Father God, that you would illuminate your people concerning your will and your plan for their lives specifically. Father, I thank you that you'll put their answers in my mouth this morning. That, Father God, that you'll fill each person with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that they might be able to walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you, and being fruitful in every good work. So you help me with my part, but then, God, we also know that utterance, preaching is greatly affected by the hearer. And what they're doing and how they're responding. And so I thank you for anointing them for their part. Yes. And that God together, that we'll get to the end. And God, all the people will be helped. You'll be glorified. We'll be glad we came. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you'd like to get the full scope of what we've said so far, you'd have to go back to our website or wherever you get podcasts. Go to World Harvest Church of Paducah. And you can find, if you want to call this a series, we're calling it The Will of God. Amen. And so here in 1 John chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. And here the Apostle John, this aged apostle, says, love not the world. Amen? Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man or if anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, as the Psalms will sometimes say, Selah. When you see Selah in the Psalms, it's a Hebrew word that means stop. Think about that. Amen. So let's stop and think about that. Here the Bible says that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Can you love the world and the things in the world and have the love of God in your heart? No. You cannot. You have to choose. Amen? You have to choose. God calls his people to be in the world, but not of the world. You're called to stand out, not blend in. You're called to be different. Amen. You're called to be salt in this earth. You're called to be light. Amen. Too much of the world has gotten in the church. Way too much of the world. Amen. And, you know, if anyone in the world followed you around and observed your life very carefully for very long, is there anything different about you than them? There should be. You know, for one thing, it's like my son said about someone in the youth group. Precious young man recently gave his heart to Jesus. And he was telling me, Dad, you should look, you should see his face. He's just a glow. He's just a glow. Well, you get the life of God in you. Amen. There's a change that's to take place. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm really, when I got saved, I got saved. And one of the first things that happened was my friends started scratching their head and going, what is going on with you? What has happened to you? I just told them. And praise God. Amen. You know, none of us have reached Christ-like perfection, but you walk with God very long. The people around you ought to see the change. They ought to see love where there was hatred. Amen. They ought to see peace where there was anger. Joy where there was depression. Prosperity where there was lack. Health and strength when there was physical weakness. Confidence where there was trepidation. Amen. Boldness instead of fear. Amen. Glory to God. Love not the world. That's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. That means your natural carnal appetites and desires. And the lust of the eyes, that which you see and long and want for, right? In a negative way. And the pride of life is not of the Father. Amen. But is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But look at this. He that does the will of God abides forever. Remains forever. So here the Apostle John's giving us two options, two choices. You can love the world. You can be dominated by your flesh. You can pursue carnal things, natural things, things the eyes want, things that puff you up, right? Just chasing a bigger house, chasing status, chasing this, chasing that. You know, it's so unnecessary. Jesus said when he was on the earth, you know, it's your Father's delight to give you the kingdom. And that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, talking about a house and a car and gas and clothes and food, and right? He knows you have need of all these things, but he doesn't want you loving those things and chasing those things. Amen. You know, one thing I found out is that God wants all of me. He wants all of me. And you know, God wants all of you. Praise God. So we could love the world and go after that, or we can love the Father and we could do His will. You remember what I've been telling you about what the Lord said to me some years ago. I was just minding my own business, Brother Paul, and God sort of broke in on me. Now, when I say, I don't mean I heard a voice, but I mean very distinctly down in my heart, I heard Him say, hey, Chris, you have health. Yeah, thank God. I have health. I have wealth. And I've been clarifying that. I knew what he meant, right? It means I have a flow of supply coming into my life. And that's true. He said, you have protection. You have the angels at work. You have peace and joy. You have a wife. You have heaven in your home. He just went on and rattled all these things off. But then here's what I wanted you to get. And here's what he wanted me to see. He said, you have all these things. How many of you want some of those things or all of those things yourself? You want health. You want wealth, a full supply, peace, and you enjoy God's divine protection and a sweet family and kids that love God. Things going well for you. And you're moving forward in your life. Anybody? I need to lay hands on you, cast your mental illness out of you if that's not what you want. Amen. Well, he said to me, son, you have all these things. Now hear me. Because you're in my will. Well, in my lightning fast brain, I realized, based on what he was telling me, there must be a connection to having all those things and being in his will. It will answer a great many questions for a lot of people. Why don't so many Christians not have those things? Why would it be that they would not have health? You know, remember, you know, the will of God is your wealthy place. There's a place in the spirit. There's a status that you have that. Then now, none of us in this life know everything about God's will, but when you have light on something, you walk in that light. Very simply, part of walking in God's will is doing what you know. Don't do wrong things that you know are wrong. Don't not do right things that you know are right. Amen. You know, sometimes we talk about this great mystical will of God. Well, why don't we just start by doing what we know to do, what common everyday, you know, blood-bought Christians do. Yes. Walk in love. That's be right. Sweet. Amen. Don't gossip. Amen. Be a tither. Read your Bible. Yeah. Pray. Yeah. Come to church. Yeah. Serve in church. Yeah. You just, you know, there's so much more to the will of God, but a large portion of Christians are failing right there in that list I just mentioned. And there's no need in God talking to many Christians about much concerning his will for their life, because they're still in diapers when it comes to the will of God. If you can't do the ABCs and put your 1, 2, 3s together when it comes to the will of God, why would he reveal to you more? He won't. Hope you like that statement, because we're going deeper into that this morning. Amen. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Romans chapter 12. So we're talking about the will of God. But, you know, in the will of God, God will be able to do more for you than he could ever do for you outside the will of God. Now, if you're having trouble kind of processing that in your brain, well, think about it this way. Parents, are you more inclined to do more for your children when they're in your will? Are you inclined to do less for your children when they're outside of your will? Well, I am. Amen. When my children do what they are asked to do, amen, then I'm out to bless them. I can bless them, and I'm out to do it. But they step out of what I've asked them to do and start living contrary, I'm going to start withholding. I said, the Bible says God does not withhold anything from someone who walks uprightly. Amen. Well, if you're not walking uprightly, guess what?
Some stuff being withheld.
There's going to be things withheld from you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
Whether you know or not, you want the will of God for your life. You want the will of God for your life. Amen. So here in Romans chapter 12, this very familiar verse to many of us, verse 1 and 2, and it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, who's going to do it? Am I supposed to show up at your house and present your body to God? God won't do it, and no one else can do it except you. Amen. So I like what the Kenneth Wiest translation, he was a Greek scholar, he's been in heaven for many years now, but he said it this way, by the aforementioned mercies of God, by a once for all presentation, place your bodies at God's disposal, or at the disposal of God. Amen. This is what God wants from you and from me. Yeah. For me to take my body and present it to God and put my body at his disposal.
Amen.
Not sin's disposal.
Right, right.
Not the world's disposal.
Right.
I don't belong to the world. You don't belong to the world. We belong to God. So the first thing he said here is that we are to present our God. Aren't you glad he said a living sacrifice?
Yes.
Amen. To God. We are to place our bodies at God's disposal. A sacrifice, a living one, a holy one, well-pleasing. Kenneth Weiss says, your rational sacred service, rational in that this service is performed by the exercise of the mind. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And so back to the King James. Then he said in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. So we're back on the world, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed. Everyone say that out loud. Transformed. Is transformed talking about changing a little bit? No. If you knew me in my BC days, you would say, God has transformed that boy. Now, I'm not near where I'm going to be, but compared to who I was back there, I haven't changed a little bit. Amen. I've changed a lot. And I've got a lot more changing to do. Amen. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's God's will. God wants you to be transformed. I'm not changing just a little bit. I'm not into anger management. No. We're talking about radical change. The word transformed is from the Greek word that we get the word, it's metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis, right?
Yeah.
And most often you're thinking about it already, aren't you? You're thinking about the little caterpillar. I am too. You think about the little caterpillar, and I did a little bit. I'm not like Sister Joy, a biologist, but I can read an internet page. And, this little larva comes out of the egg, and the first meal it has is the egg itself, they say. And then it's going to begin eating leaves, and it's going to add to its size over 1,000 times. And then, and that's going to take a week or maybe 2 weeks. But then it's going to hang itself upside down on this stalk or stem or stick or limb. And it's going to begin to spin a chrysalis. It's going to encompass itself, right, in an invisible place where inside that chrysalis, amen, he's going to change a little bit. He'll come out with a little extra stripe on his paint job. No. When he emerges from there, he will be changed. He will be transformed. He will not look the same. He will not go the same. He will not travel the same way. He will live instead of... Hang with me, I'll get there eventually. That's his life before. But he climbs up into this place. And when he comes out, he's traveling different. He's living different. He's going to have a higher view. He's been transformed. Now they say, depending on the species of caterpillar butterfly, that the butterfly will live about 2 weeks. The butterfly will live about 2 weeks. But from egg to emerging out of the cocoon, amen, that will be about 4 months. In other words, the vast majority of the little guy's life is lived being changed.
Amen.
Being changed. And you and I will never become, we'll never get to that view, we'll never live the way God intends us to ultimately live if we're not willing to climb up in the Word of God, to climb up in your local church, climb up under the ministry of a pastor, amen, and pray and fellowship with God in unseen places and be transformed. God has butterfly life for all of his people, yet most of his people live life like that. Bird food. Living on the end of a fishing hook. I don't want to live like that. I'm not interested in getting saved and living like a heathen with a ticket to heaven in my hand. When I gave my life to him at drunken suicidal at that frat part, that night, finally, that night, I knew, I expected, I'm getting up and things will be different for me. I'm going to live different than the way I have been living. Amen. What does this have to do about with the will of God? Everything, everything. Amen. Let's keep reading. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So here we're back to a binary choice, aren't we? We could either be conformed or transformed. Which one are we supposed to be as Christians? Transformed, not conformed. The word conformed means to be pressed into the shape of. So the other day, Faith had one of our precious daycare kids. We've kind of become loose friends with that family. And so that little one was over at our house for some extra time with Faith. And Faith and Pastor Amber were with this little one baking cookies. Well, they got the dough all prepared, but they had the different molds, right? You press the mold into the dough, and that cookie's gonna look like that mold. Well, the devil and the world has a purpose for your life. And it's got a mold, and it's got a way that it wants you to look, talk, think, act, believe. And it's pressing on your life. And if you let it, you'll end up like the world. You'll look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world. You know, I think I made mention of this. I sat 5 hours on that airplane in Nashville waiting to take off. As we were boarding, this precious couple got behind me. And so we started to chat a little bit, male and female, young couple. And they asked me what I was up to. And I said, well, I'm a preacher and I'm on my way to India. And they said, wow, where are you from? I said, Paducah. Wow, that's where we're from. We live in Nashville from, but we live in Paducah. We know all that. But this is interesting. Before he found out I was a preacher, he'd already dropped an F-bomb on me. Because that's how he talks. But the moment I said I was a preacher, he said, oh man, I'm a Christian too. And I love God and prayer and the whole. I said, I don't know if you'd like me because I talk in tongues and this and that. He goes, oh no, no, we are into all that too. He'd already dropped an F-bomb on me. He's with his girlfriend he's not married to, off to Europe for the weekend. I'm not judging him. But that's a Christian that's been conformed to the world. I don't fault the world for dropping F-bombs. But you call yourself a Christian? Come on. Yeah, come on. You call yourself a Christian and talk like that? You love the world. You're going off to Europe with this girl, you're not even married to her, and you want to boast in front of all these people standing here in business class that you're a Christian, that you pray, that you go to church. That's a bad example. You hypocrite. Stop that. That's what's wrong with Christians today. Sorry, visitors. I'm really not sorry. I'm just saying, there's a problem with the way Christians are thinking today. I know I got a little strong there, intense. I'll back it off. I'll dial it down. No, I'm just saying. And that's, I'm not judging that couple, but what are they thinking? And they just go on about their way as if that's perfectly fine. It's not perfectly fine. Conform to the world. The world's pressing. You felt this pressure, right? You better call me by the right pronoun, bless God. They don't even say bless God. You can't say that. One political candidate for office for the president several years ago said, Christians must be made to change their view about homosexuality. See, that's the spirit of the world. Listen, here's a tip for you. Don't let the world tell you what to believe. Don't let the world tell you. And they'll say, well, Jesus preached love and tolerance. Don't let the world tell you what Jesus preached. He did not preach tolerance. What did he preach? He preached repent. That's what he preached. You go read it. What did he preach? Repent. And then he preached the message of the kingdom. Tolerance. I'm not out to be mean or vindictive to people. But no, I'm not going to tolerate certain things. Where's that in the Word? It's not in the Word. How'd I get off on preaching on this? Well, you made me do it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. So we could be conformed, but the plan of God is that we be transformed. Transformed. Not changed a little bit. Radical change. Major change. Well, listen, is that what you're up to? Are you up to major change? Is that part of what your week was about last week? Major change. When was the last time you did any changing? Just be honest with yourself. People wave their hanky and say amen like they're really doing it. But what did you change last week to become more like Jesus? What attitude did you change? What behavior did you alter? What part of your character are you and the Holy Ghost working on? Like I said, just look straight ahead. Nobody will know it's you, all right? Just look straight ahead. Amen. Well, I keep trying to get to the end of this verse. That's what we're trying to get to. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, how's that going to happen? It tells us by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. If you look up that word renewing in the Greek, it's the Greek word that means renovation. So, being that I'm in a renovation right now, it makes for a good illustration. The other day I said, okay, Rex, we're going to save the family about $1,000. We're going to do the demo on this bathroom. So we went to Lowe's and we got safety goggles and dust masks and we put dirty clothes on and gloves, and we got our hammers and our pry bars and our sledgehammers, because we're about to tear some stuff up. We tired of this condition. We tired of looking at this bathroom the way it is. We're tired of this. This is about to change. You realize I'm not preaching about bathrooms right now? And if this is going to change, the first thing that's got to happen is we've got to make a mess. We have got to tear some stuff out. We have got to swing the hammer. We have got to get some dust going. We have got to tear all this stuff out. Amen. Amen. And by the day was done, we'd gone to the dump and all that old cabinetry and vanity and laminate flooring, layer on layer, and fiberglass shower stained and leaking, gone. Now what we have is a slate, a blank slate. And once you get done, you're not done then, are you? Then you got to start putting it all back, putting it back the way it ought to be. Putting it back the way it should be. Putting it back the way you want it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're transformed. How? Use a different word. By the renovation of your mind. And if you've ever been reading your Bible, just reading your Bible, being a little sweetheart that you are, and just reading your Bible, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost walks in with a sledgehammer. And you get into the love chapter. You get into 1 Corinthians 13. And your marriage has not been sweet. But you're reading 1 Corinthians 13. And here comes the Holy Ghost with his sledgehammer. I'm here to tear some stuff out. We're going to renovate that bad attitude, that bitterness, that quick to being offended. You're so opinionated. When the Holy Ghost shows up to that man and says, you're too domineering, you're not sweet enough. And the Holy Ghost, and she's in the other room, hopefully reading the same chapter, and the Holy Ghost walks in going, you nag him too much. We're going to deal with that this morning. Well, this is Christian life. And then after all that, you've been ducking a sledgehammer as he's been swinging it at you all week. And then you come to church and your pastor gets up. And he's got a sledgehammer. He comes out of the door with a yellow hat and a vest on. What are we here to do this morning? We're going to do some renovation today.
Amen.
In every moment in your fellowship with God, in every moment in your devotional life and in your church life, you're coming to change.
Yes. Amen.
You're not coming to be pet.
That's right.
You're coming to be changed.
Amen.
Now, I'm not doing all this renovation myself. I'm not doing all this renovation myself. So I had an electrician come in because he's anointed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not.
Right.
And then I had a plumber come in.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And because I'm not anointed for that.
Right.
Then I had a drywall guy come in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, amen. And that's why God gave five gifts.
Yeah.
He gave the apostle,
yeah,
and the prophet,
yeah,
and the evangelist, and the pastor,
yeah,
and the teacher. And I've had some people say, well, you're not coming to the special meeting? No, I'm not coming to the special meeting. Well, why not? And then they flatter me. They try to flatter me. They say, well, you know, Pastor Chris, we love that Dr. Jacobs, but we're just a Pastor Chris guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really just showing up their ignorance of the Bible.
Right.
Because I didn't ask the plumber to do what the electrician does.
Come on.
And I didn't ask the electrician to hang the drywall. And if we're going to be, let's go there. Keep your finger here. Keep your finger here. Where's this scripture in my notes? It's not. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all doing all right? Hallelujah. What we're talking about is how to get yourself into the will of God. How to understand what the will of God is. The will of God is not you getting everything you want all the time, especially your fleshly nature. Now, the will of God is not all, you know, thumb sucking and pouting and no fun and getting beat up. No, no, no. This is all a process of molding and shaping, and he's the potter and we're the clay. Amen. And when he pokes on you and that hurts, that's because he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that bitterness in there. That don't fit the pot that he's making. And when he deals with that childhood hurt, that wound you've been carrying around,
yeah,
you better let him do it.
Yeah.
I said, you better let him do it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want you to have a big crack in your pot.
Right.
Everything God does is for our good.
Because
he is good.
Yes.
And he is love.
Yes.
You have nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Nothing to fear from God. Amen. And you have nothing to fear from a real pastor.
Amen.
Nothing to fear. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So in Ephesians chapter 4, New Bible, not on my notes. Let me just locate this verse. Look at verse number 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, Jesus, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints. If you look up that word perfecting in the Greek, you'll find it's the Greek word for renovation.
Amen.
Jesus gave the fivefold, the full-time vocational ministry gifts we just read for the remodeling process of the saints. You know, when we're born into the kingdom of God, we look like the world. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how we come into the kingdom. But then you're just not a pew sitter after that. Now it's time for the remodeling of your mind. Amen. And we have to do this. We have to do it. Father, I give you my life. I present my body even to you. I place my life at your disposal. And now I'm going to go to part two, which is the renovating of my mind, because that's the only way I can achieve transformation. The only way your life will be transformed is for you. Get this. Don't think about burritos or anything like that right now. Amen. The only way your life will be transformed is by thinking much differently than you think right now. And if you don't think that there's anything wrong with the way you think, you are aborting your own progress. The unrenewed mind is a barrier to growth. It's a barrier to promotion. It's a barrier to becoming more like Christ. And if you're one of these folks, bless your heart, that thinks, I got it all together. I know how all this goes. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't plan on doing any changing. Well, you have a will God gave you, and you can make that choice, but you have decided not to become a butterfly. So we'll all watch you try to get where you're wanting to go. And we'll bless you as we flutter our wings. To be transformed is work.
Yes, sir.
It means clicking the TV off when you don't want to.
Yeah. That's
right. And getting into the Word.
Yes.
It means not putting in that rap music, and I'm not cut about honky tonk. It don't matter. I'm not attacking a genre, right. And putting in a sermon.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 You know, you got to put your flesh down to do that.
Yeah. Right.
And then when something comes up and it makes your blood boil, instead of blasting off on somebody, this time you go, "Hold up a minute, I'm going to the bathroom." You get in there and you close the stall and you go, "Oh, Father, help me not to do that anymore."
Amen.
It's almost like you got TMJ because you're. But you calm down and God meets you and peace comes and you walk out and the guy's still alive. You have grown spiritually. Amen. And when you're new and you're not in the habit of going to church and you're used to lazing around on Sundays and doing whatever. Rex was in the truck with me. He says, "What do you think all these people are doing that are not going to church this morning out on the road?" I said, "I don't know. I mean, I really don't know."
Yeah.
You know, they're going to mama's house or they're going to papa's house or they got to go to Lowe's to work on their hand. They're doing something, but they're not going to church. I don't know. But well, see, you got to change the way you think to fix that. So many areas. But we're here in Ephesians, is that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Y'all doing all right?
Yes.
So why did these ministry gifts exist? For the equipping, the perfecting of the saints. That's the first thing. There's other things listed, but that's the first thing. So that's what church really ought to be much of the time. You come in. And you are my bathroom I'm working on. You're going to be beautiful when we get done with you. You know, have you ever had that place in your house you did not want anyone to go see? That was this bathroom we're working on. But when we get done, we're going to want everybody to see. See, some of you need to stay in that cocoon a while.
Uh-huh.
Stay in there a little longer. Don't come out yet.
Yeah.
You're not ready.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not a bad thing.
Right.
It's not a bad thing. This is God's plan. This is a big part of God's will.
Amen.
Amen.
We get born again and we begin to remodel.
Amen.
We begin the process of renewing our mind and being transformed. And you know, it doesn't happen all at once. You can go back to Romans 12. It doesn't happen all at once, but little by little. Little by little. Little by little. But before long, you stay at it like for 30 years like I have, you can look back before, right, and go, whoa, man, I don't think the way I used to think.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't process things the way. My fuse is not nearly as short as it used to be. I'm not as sick as I used to be. I'm not as troubled as I used to be. I'm content. And what is this? I find myself wanting to go to church more. What is that all about? What is that? But you're being transformed. Amen. And it's the will of God. It's the plan of God. And so in Romans chapter 12, the end of this verse, it says, and this is the thought I want to close with, that you may prove. That you may prove what? What is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now that word perfect, don't let it throw you, that word perfect means complete. The complete will of God. Hallelujah. Well, if there is a complete will of God, then there's an incomplete. If there's a complete will of God, then there is such a thing as a partial will of God. Where do you think most Christians live their lives? In the partial will of God. How much of God's blessings do they want? They want the complete package of redemption blessings. But they only want to do. Does that work? You'll have to come next week. No, that does not work. If you and I want to enjoy God's complete will, His best will, enjoy His highest blessings, then we have to do His complete will. In other words, all that you know about it. Now we'll close with this. There's so much more. I pray you will come back. I hope I got strong a little bit. I'm not apologizing, but I'm just saying, don't get offended.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you got to really,
yes, sir.
That shower unit, it was in there. Uh-huh. You ever removed a fiberglass shower unit with a Sawzall? It's violent. We didn't just reach up and tug on it and it come out. Some things are so entrenched in Christians' minds, a pastor's got to get the big pry bar. We got what we call a stronghold right now. We got to get this out of there. Right? They have this thing called a header. You ever have to change a header? Well, we got a lot of headers in the body of Christ too. You know, change that. Anyway. Trying to close here. So just to review as we close here, to get the will of God, to get to the perfect, complete will of God from Romans chapter 12, there's a path we have to go through, right? The first step on that path is you and only you, you're the only one that can do it. You present your life, you present your body, you place your body at God's disposal.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to go something like this. Father, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
So it shouldn't be about where do you want to go to church. It shouldn't be about that. It should be about where does God want you to go to church.
Amen.
He has a will.
Right.
Regarding that. Amen. What job, what career path does God want you to take? But even all the way down to what do I allow this body to be involved in? What do I give my body to you. I place my body at your disposal. You are the temple. This body is your temple. Then that's number one. Number two is do not be conformed to this world. So you have to get to the perfect will of God, you're going to have to understand it doesn't have anything to do with the world. How the world thinks, how the world flows, how the world is going. And so you have to recognize there's things in the world, in the culture, that's pressing in on me, trying to shape the way I think. And it's worked sadly on many even denominations that are now... Yeah, they're ordaining and endorsing lifestyles that Jesus calls an abomination. And they'll tell you it's God's will. They'll make some sort of justification. It's the world pressing. So you have to be resisting that, and that's step number two. And then step number three is I must be about the work of transformation, which is the renewing, the renovation of my mind. Now, here's what I want to leave you with. Do you see here that the whole end result in verse 2 is that you may? Yeah. Hang with me, okay? I know it's 12:05. That you may. So if you do not present your body and you don't sufficiently get your mind renewed, you won't be able to. To do what? You will not be able to prove. That's the word, to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word prove means to see. It means to investigate, to test the genuineness of something. So if someone handed you what was supposedly a gold coin, you ever seen, I don't know why, if you bite it, is there a taste to true gold? Is it soft? How soft does it have to be for it to not, I don't know. But what are they doing, right? They want to test the genuineness. You hand a bill to a banker and they hold it up. They are testing it. They are proving it. Is this the real thing? So do you see many Christians, even if they want to know God's will for their life, if they don't present their body at God's disposal, and if they don't sufficiently stay at the work of the renewing of their mind, they will never even be able to discern, to perceive what is really. They'll be calling something God's will that's not, because their mind hasn't been renewed to think like God enough to be able to accept the truth that that is the will of God. And that is a fake. That is a distraction. That is a diversion. So how many of you want to get to the perfect will of God for your life? I do. And thank God, I believe we do. Then do you see, it's up, you have to do something. Please come back next week. I want to say some more things. You have to do something. You have to show God you're interested and that you're available. Amen. And then you have to daily be about the work of the renewing of your mind. How does the renewing of your mind work? It's through the Word of God. Yes. As you fellowship with God's thoughts, as you sit under the ministry of the Word like you've done so well today, amen? And then as you're in the Word and you talk to God and you listen to real good teaching, and right? And you're taking it in not to just be religious and say, okay, I went to church today. No, but what did I hear and what did God say and what does that scripture mean and how can I apply that truth to my everyday life? And you begin to do that. You just keep at it and you are pretty quick. You're going to begin to sense and see and perceive and discern more than you ever saw before about God's great plan for your life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Don't waste your years. You know, none of us, we can't do anything about the past. Let that go. Oh, glory to God. But your future, you have a future. God's got a plan for your life. You think about how big of a deal Abraham is in the plan of God. You know, anybody in here already decided you're looking forward to meeting Abraham someday in heaven? He's a big deal forever. But do you know, what if he'd have never, when God said, first thing he said to him was leave your family and leave home. What if he never did it? What if he never did it? What if he never did that part of God's will? he would have never gotten to experience what God had for him next. He would have never gotten to see or to discern. Think about the victory over the five kings and the spoil and seeing God and the ram caught in the thicket and a nation being born from his infertile wife and his infertile self. God didn't tell him about all that in the beginning. Think about what you might miss if you don't do his will.
Amen.
It's worth it. Amen. You could stand up on your feet this morning. Glory to God. I feel like we've had good church today. From the praise.